Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Impact Show. This is a show where we meet amazing people who dedicate their time and energy to projects which bring a positive impact to the yachting industry. And today, I'm delighted to welcome a truly inspirational leader, entrepreneur, and a delightful lady, the Managing Director of Interior Management Systems, Margarita Amam. Margarita, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Nigel. It's nice to be here now on this show from Yachting International Radio.
You are very welcome. Thanks for joining us. And Margarita, perhaps you could just introduce yourself and give us a bit of background on how you got to work in the yachting industry.
Yeah, sure. Just like a quick rundown. I started working in yachting after I was headhunted from working commercially, running restaurants and hotels ashore. So I was headhunted 16 years ago, served actively as crew on board, also on cruise ships and private islands and residences for 8 years before I founded my own company. That is also 8 years ago that I founded IMS.
Okay, amazing. And what was the value, what impact did you want to bring to yachting? You must have seen an opportunity there to add some value. So what was that?
Well, first time I entered in yachting, I was a bit shocked about the non-existing procedures or routines that were in place in all the segments of yachting. May it be during refits or communication between management internally and externally with crew, or the operations on board. I found it all a little bit like that scene when Asterix and Obelix run into the Colosseum. You know, it was a bit everywhere. Kind of went okay, but could have also gone horribly wrong. So that's why, and probably also because I was born and raised in Germany. Culturally, I'm Greek and Pakistani, but also German, being born here. But you get a sense of structures and systems to just make things more efficient. And that's why I built IMS with all the standard operating procedures and everything in there, out of a desire to do better, to be more efficient. Because the lack of efficiency and structure led to lots of crew being very frustrated, not knowing what you have to do, getting a bollocking, let's say, for even though you didn't know, or you asked someone to check on you, but then there was no time for the person of, you know, your supervisor to check. And it's just bred a lot of more frustrations. And it's, I believe, a huge part why there is such high crew turnover. So yeah, 8 years ago, or actually before that, about 10, 11 years ago, people came on board, asked me, hey, I heard that you have some systems and solutions, can we have a look? And they actually placed the seed, including the captain, in my mind that I could make a business out of it. I didn't think that big. I didn't consider that I would have it in me, that someone like I can do this and allowed to do this.
Right. So it's efficiency, really. Time saving, better quality, better standard of work, done in a quicker time, and overcoming those challenges, those leadership challenges that I suppose senior crew were having back at that time as well. I mean, leadership has come on quite significantly in yachting, but I suppose that was quite an issue, back sort of six, eight years ago.
Yeah, I still think it's also not resolved.
Always, can always do better, right?
A couple of courses will not change people's hearts. So just tapping some logos on things, is not going to cut it. But it's a good start that there are courses out there. The intention behind it, that needs to be shown or proven. But generally, it is now more of a topic, and it's not just ignored, which I think is a good step in the right direction that is now being at least talked about.
Yeah, Sean, we've spoken together quite at length about your systems, your app, what you've been aiming to do, and I've identified most definitely that the efficiency piece is really important, but also talking about leadership, and that there's actually a structure around leadership and taking a crew member through that process from directive leadership to delegation, and from my learnings from the app, that actually that the app and it's a training process as well, isn't it? So
if you have the time for it, and since I'm always on about we're losing daylight, and so my colleagues always make fun of me when I say, come on, we need to get this done, we're losing daylight. I mean, we have electricity, but it's the sense of not spending 20 hours to do something if it can be done in less time. The only way to be this efficient and not to be wasteful with the resources, including your own physical and mental resources that you have, that for that reason I've built and was the first one to offer an app to go paperless. Management companies, two of them, which I can mention next time, said, oh, but we'd like to put the paper on. I said, sure, have you asked your crew? Because they say they are annoyed having to change the SOPs constantly and the other standing orders just because a word or a sentence has changed. So 8 years ago, I was the first one already saying, hey, we can go paperless, just use this app. We can give you transparency and accountability. And I think these words were rather scary for management, while the crew actually wanted it. And I've heard from many crew members, junior, senior, as well as captains, saying that we want it, but we can't get it because management is blocking it. So That's why I'm critical about the ones who are coming out with leadership courses and environmental courses, because these are the same ones, you know, who say, now we're supporting this. Because before they sat and looked like this, and now they go, no, we're this. But you're still the same, you know, it's it hasn't changed. You just put a new lipstick on.
Yeah. What sort of feedback do you get from the owners? Do you get any feedback directly from the owners at all, from the clients?
Rarely. I usually need just to communicate with the crew.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I think the connection was just hicking there. You asked about the feedback of the owners directly?
Yes. I wondered if they had a user experience at all, that they really enjoyed it, or but it's mainly from the crew that you get the feedback, right?
Well, funnily enough, crew who take a lot of pride in their job and have the opportunity and the stamina to fight for the tools that they want, often I see them having to make do or cut their losses. So they have to drop one thing to get another. But the ones who manage or have no issues getting software that is specialized for the hotel operations, the interior operations, and they give me the feedback what the owners tell them. And usually they quite like it. There is, for example, Motoyacht app, where the owner has their own iPad and they can see what's happening on board while they're in their own house somewhere else. And it's not to control or to micromanage. It's just for that sense of security, because you can't expect trust. But if you can do spot checks, you build trust. If you can see where did my favorite pair of golf shoes go? It's not on board. I don't need to give anyone there a hard time. I don't even need to reach out to them, ignoring time of the night or weekday. I immediately can track my own little wardrobe or favorite items. So far, the feedback, the limited feedback that I've received, was positive by the owners.
Yeah. As a captain, I've experienced in the past those exact circumstances that you describe, that something's gone missing, or where's this, or where's that, yeah. Or it's just like, oh my goodness, you know, or the
ones boss. In the house.
Yeah, Madame's asking manager. For it, or yeah, so
and they go, oh, we don't have it, and then the ball is back at your court, and then you call the pilot. The pilot says, oh, we have nothing here, and this continues, you know.
Yeah.
So. Nobody's fault. Yeah.
So I love it. So as mentioned, we've talked at length about your projects, your offering, and I absolutely love it. I can really see that there is a need there in the market. I think you've got a great market fit there. So congratulations from my side, anyway.
Thank you. Yeah, I've started thinking about it more deeply, especially with people coming up with sustainability topics more and more, or DEI topics, or ESG, that is something that you have started. And we talked about it before as well, that sustainability is threefold. You cannot just go environmental. It's also a social aspect, but it's also an economic aspect, which I think when I look at sustainability and we say it's environment, it's a social impact, it's the economic impact. So that means whatever the sustainability hub now in Monaco has to offer will be very interesting to see. Where are the hubs for the social impact? Where are the hubs for the economic impact? The governance, as you say. And I think these three points are actually now, in retrospect, are actually well covered within. I didn't do it on purpose with the outset, okay, I need to have environment, social and economic impact. I just did it and I realized the paperless, the not having huge data dumps or pools because you get your own little server, being economic because we have video tutorials so you don't spend resources on just any training out there. You spend it on people who watch the tutorials so you know in which people to invest. You also don't waste money on having constantly a satellite connection because with a server you have your own little internet and you work offline. And the social aspect is, of course, that you can become a good team and be a better leader because of the structures giving there. And I think that is something that more businesses should consider, especially when it comes to the governance part of things.
There's a couple of elements in there, but from my learnings is that efficient operations, I mean, essentially save money. So when we start to go paperless and implement these systems, they save money, which is sustainability equals profitability. So I think that's very interesting to highlight. Paperless, obviously great, digitalization, automation. And yeah, I mean the social elements, I'm always looking at how we train, lead, develop our crew. And like with this system that you have, I mentioned earlier that it's great, and it does with the tutorials, it takes the crew member through those steps, and they can become accountable for it. So you know they're going to tick the box that they've done the task, and they can move on. Or if not, then they can seek advice. So it really it works from many different aspects of sustainability. I mean, from my experience, it's funny that how we can resonate as impactful leaders that we are, that some of our daily actions and our efforts actually are coupled, are married with sustainable practices, let's say. So yeah. I think that's really, really, really awesome.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like some people do it naturally because their whole intention, their motivation is behind it. And with some others, you look and go, it's almost like going out on the street like, okay, today I'm going to be nice. Like they have to make a conscious effort to focus on this or to be that way. And I think we should look at people who naturally do this already, because I think they should be carving the path because they've already been walking it. That's the big, big difference between leaders and someone who's just in a position of power. A leader is someone in a position of power is not necessarily a leader, often not.
Yeah. So what sort of challenges from your perspective, in your opinion, in your line of work, I mean, what are the challenges do we face as a yachting industry? and how can we overcome them?
The challenges that we face as yachting industry. I think one big issue is the image that the world has about yachting.
Mm-hmm.
The yachting leaders, or let's say the most successful companies, may it be the shipyards or the large management companies sitting in Pall Mall or whatever street in London, they have failed to communicate to the world that they are not villains. The world is perceiving yachting as the villains, as the extension, the extension of the evil owners who, you know, had all the tax cuts, who became even richer during COVID, while others lost their homes and work. So that ship has sailed to eradicate and repair that image backwards. You cannot undo history, but you can live a better life forward, which means they should pass it to people who have not made those mistakes, who, you know, have a sort of a clean slate, and they should be guided by them.
I think the reputation of yachting is really under the spotlight. I think the situation in Ukraine has certainly certainly exaggerated that and really brought it to the forefront of media. It's about a communication tool. There is no communication tool. A lot of yachts do great stuff. A lot of companies, management, etc., do great stuff, but we're not really communicating it, and we're not tackling the challenges that are ahead of us. And
I don't think it's a lot of companies doing good. I don't think so at all.
You don't?
Not at all.
Yeah.
I think the majority is a bit complacent or ignorant of things, or just overwhelmed. And I think the big mistake that I hear now, I will see it in Monaco myself, but from what I see from the other talks that come up and that I held, everyone is so busy now building a narrative, building the branding, making the marketing thing. It's all so stylized, so like plastic pearls. It's not the real thing. It looks good, but when you touch it, you know it's not real. So to dress it up in the way that it isn't, to make yourself free from any fault, while the whole world has seen all the fault. There's been stories out there before Ukraine already about the whole Me Too movement. Where did that suddenly go? Now they all pretend to be all, look how sustainable we can be as a yacht, and COVID led to your own personal space on board in the tranquility of and the beauty of the ocean. But, you know, in the meantime, we just do carbon offset, which means we're still going to be wasteful, and we just buy whatever else somewhere else, while the plastic bottles that Fiji bottles get drunk still on board and half drunk, sometimes, you know, not just guests but crew, and then that goes dumped illegally in Kenya or other countries. So it's a bit off. And as long as we are so dishonest and pretend that this is not true, that we have no faults as an industry, as long as we do this, nobody will believe us. If we can't be critical with ourselves.
Yeah, I think, there's terminology when companies profess to be doing something that's environmentally friendly or green, but they're not actually doing it, and it's greenwash. And I think what we have here is a similar scenario with the social aspect, is that, you know, perhaps companies are doing social washing, where exactly what you've described, that you know, it's kind of fake.
Yeah, it's even as bad as I call it color washing, when you see them all suddenly. First of all, when the murder of George Floyd was witnessed by the whole world, there was nothing to be seen and heard in the yachting industry. That really riled me up. Other than, I think Clyde & Co was probably the only company who did put a black square out there, and several crew, myself too, but you don't see it on anyone else's side, so they didn't really care. But now suddenly you know, people want to talk about diversity and inclusion, and the only thing they do it is by their Instagram feed. It's just a tile. Suddenly you see a lot of brown and black crew. But excuse me, I don't have to, we can walk on any dock where any yacht is. Show me one yacht where there is on, where if I see as many colorful crew as you pretend to have on your Instagram or elsewhere, they're not. And don't suddenly pull out the Filipinos from the below decks and say, look, we are so friendly with them, but you haven't learned even one word in Tagalog.
Mm-hmm. Well, it brings us nicely onto your new initiative, or the initiative that you'll be launching fairly soon, I think. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
It's not that I have time to do another company, but I make time for it because my thoughts always go back to that topic and I find it unfair. We had these discussions during, I wiggle my way into any room and conversation I can get into, because when we're talking about talents and people working in yachting and diversity, show me one who's like me. I know many crew who do not dare to speak up because they're not in a position of strength and they cannot risk it. So I decided to come up with grit, because some industry leaders, I'm just doing leaders like this, I'm going to find a word to describe them because they're certainly not, they claim that there are not enough talents, there isn't enough crew, there isn't enough that, then there is not enough, there is not enough talent in the ethnic communities. When I go into one-on-one conversations with them, it turns out they don't even touch those communities. Their whole life cycle, this is office, family, golf, holiday, it's homogenous. There is no mixing. But of course, they don't see then that kind of talent. And also the way they describe where they look for employees, the way they put the announcements out there, it's cutting us out. So I decided to build Grit, and that is first and foremost a platform which is going to fill the ethnic talent pipeline with elite workers, and not just on board, not just blue collar, it's also for white collar positions, people who have master's and bachelor degrees in architecture and design and project management. So any yard, IT company, logistics company, any company related and catering towards yachting, and they want diversity in their team, they will find them on our platform.
That's amazing. Connecting yachting with sort of outs with talent from
from any country. At the moment, I'm working with a group in Kenya. And next week, I'm connecting to a group of refugees managed in Berlin for work. So mainly Syrian people who are extraordinary talented people. As I say, these are the elite. So yachting looks just in one direction. In this little puddle, the puddle, not to be offensive to the ones who are there, but it's the... countries that are basically British. So it's British, South African white, Australian, New Zealand white, German and Dutch. That's basically it. The good white, as I would call, as I would describe it in an intimate circle. Now it's out there, but you know, that's the good white. The not so good white, but they're still higher, but cheaper, of course, are the Ukrainians, you know, East European whites. And they just look in that corner. Obviously, at some point, that puddle will be fished out, that lake will be fished out. And then you get mediocrity in. And to no offense of the crew in general, but I think amongst your peers and amongst your juniors and seniors crew, you know who is an excellent crew member and who is just in there for the ride. You hear it very clearly in the first sentence, and anyone says when you want to employ them, I love to travel and like to meet people.
Yes.
On land, nobody would ever get hired for that, unless you want to be a blogger. You know, you're hired to be a blogger, then it's fine. but on land. And that's why I describe grit as we are looking. And obviously you have these people also amongst the Greeks, the Pakistanis, the Kenyans, the Turks. You have also people who have other priorities in their life, which is good. But just because they have a British passport doesn't mean they should be in yachting. Or if they are good as well, that doesn't mean that you cannot look also at someone else, give someone else an opportunity. I don't want to dive into the depths of what it means to have lost generational wealth and all the resources for it. And the distance, like you, if you do a run and somebody else has started running and you're still here, we can dive into this because that's quite an in-depth and systemic racism, a topic about systemic racism that is rather long. But yeah, with grit, we're going to fill the ethnic talent pipeline and show them that there is elite people outside of the spectrum that they want to, or that they're currently looking at. Not that they do it on purpose, some yes, some no, but to expand their spectrum and that they see this.
Well, certainly from my perspective, I'd be very excited to follow that journey, and you never know, maybe one day I can be working with one of those colleagues who you're trying to give the opportunity to come and work in the yachting.
And so, I'm not doing this all by myself either. I should have said it before, but I would like to take the opportunity now to thank Lily, who is the chief operating officer. She's doing all the groundwork in Kenya, lining up interviews, going really into minute detail, getting police certificates from them to they really judge them on a completely different level. Also Dennis, who is also from Kenya but lives here in Germany, he's building the website and the platform for it. Other people who I call them white allies, people from the industry that have been, I don't think I can mention them publicly yet because we will still need to sign one or two pieces, but they are willing to be coaches free of charge to help build the cultural bridge, just in case the company, let's say FedShip is looking for more social media managers or similar, we will get them someone in, but you still need to bridge the culture from Dutch to Kenyan, from Europe to Africa, from luxury to ultra luxury, you know, mm-hmm. these segments. And I have a handful of people who are happy to donate their time and be coaches to help the ethnic talent to connect well and to progress healthily.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there's some truly amazing people out there, and as we know, it's we can teach the skills and develop these people, but it's the personality really, and the character, the drive and ambition, and to give these minorities a chance, I think is just very commendable. So once again, congratulations, and it's been a great chat. Thank you so much for coming on to the show, and I'll be seeing you on Monaco Yacht Show, right?
100%. Thank you for having me on your show, and I really look forward to seeing you and crash a party or two.
It sounds good. I look forward to it as well. So you've been listening to The Impact Show here on Yachting International Radio, and introducing Margarita Amam from Interior Management Systems. And my name is Nigel Marison. I'm the director of Blue ESG, where we make yachting better together. So thank you very much, and we'll see you next time.